We're excited to be here with you. We grew up in this church. Of course, my father founded the church, and it's always good to be back home. Pastor Tim, I thank you guys for having us, and First Lady Karen, honor you guys, and I'm excited for what God is doing here at Chapel on the Hill. Amen. And I just have been following online, and I see the activities in the community and what you guys are doing. And God is moving in a mighty and powerful way. And we just honor what man of God, Pastor Tim, and his wife for just leading you guys and leading in this community. I also I want to share a video. But before I do that, I want to honor my. Okay, first of all, you guys are a little dead for me. I'm used to people talking back to me a little bit, okay? So I've been in an African-American, Spanish settings for years now, so I'm used to people responding with noise. Okay, a little bit better. And I've learned something. Before I start preaching, I want to share this with you. Things in the spirit are activated by voice and by sound. And so what happens is this. When you respond, you actually pull things in the spirit. Why do you think when they marched around Jericho at the last moment, he had them shout? Because it broke something in the spirit and the walls in the natural came down. But it took place in the spirit first with their shout, and then it occurred in the natural. So today, as we're going through this, if it hurts, say ouch. Because it might hurt a little bit. But I want to honor also my beautiful wife, Janola, my Trinidad Coco, my silky, fine, expensive Trini Coco. She's a great helpmate, and we love working together and ministering together. But Trinidad has some of the most expensive cocoa in the world. I just got a little bit of it. Thank you, Jesus. Video, and this video is something that we did and we're going to continue to do, and then I'll share after the video goes, I'll share a little bit about that, and then we'll get into the word. No video? Oh, I sent it. Okay. All right, I sent it, but I guess it didn't come through. All right, that's okay. So then we're going to preach. You wanted it. All right. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we come before you today.
Shatatabara. Jesus, we're not worthy to even be in your presence. But it's only because of what you did on the cross that the veil was torn so we could step into your presence. Jesus, we are grateful because we're nothing more than filthy rags. But God, we thank you that now we are the righteousness of Christ. Jesus, we thank you today that we can be in your presence. We thank you today. God, I pray today that your word would be sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the joints and the marrow, piercing between spirit and soul, that our spirit would receive and our soul would be transformed, God. God, I pray today, God, that you would speak, that you would move, that you would shift, that you would shake, that you would upgrade things in our lives, God, that we would be changed, that we'd be transformed today, that we'd leave today different than what we came in. God, we thank you, God, for what you're about to do. I ask today, Holy Spirit, that you would take control of my lips and my tongue, that you would think through me, speak through me. God, that every word out of my mouth would be from you. Allow a seraphim to take a coal from the altar to touch my lips and my tongue. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I want to share about the video because God spoke to me before we went to Trinidad and Tobago. And he said, I want you to go into the panyard. Now, if you don't know, Trinidad is the only country, and actually they created the only instrument created in the 21st century, which is the steel pan. And all the Caribbean countries and a lot of places throughout the world use a steel pan. But it's huge in Trinidad and Tobago. But when it was first created, the church demonized it. Like Facebook. No, I'm just kidding. Well, they demonized it. They won't allow their children to play pan. They won't allow it in church. And God told me, he said, I want you to go into the panyards. Now, the panyards are these big open areas where they practice pan. And the panyard that we went into, they teach over 1,000 kids a week how to play steel pan to get them off the streets and stuff. So we were able to go in. And in the video, we had worship, we preached, we prayed for people for over between 2 to 3 hours. After we got done praying for the kids, because and we seen over 20 people give their lives to Jesus, we seen multiple people healed, multiple people get set free and delivered. After we got done, I thought we're done. I'm done. The kids, the worship team was still playing. The kids came up and danced. Like, they just came out of nowhere and danced for, like, I don't know, it was 30, 40 minutes. If the worship team wouldn't have stopped, they would have still be there dancing. Because when people get touched by the power of God, their lives, you automatically have to praise. You automatically have to dance. You automatically have to give worship to God. And so even as in the second song of worship that we were doing, the person in charge of that panyard came up to me and he said, I heard. What do you mean you heard? God spoke to him. And he said, we have to do this every quarter. And they called me this week. They said, when are you coming back? Because the kids have been asking. They were, when's the church coming back? When's the church coming back? So we're excited, and we believe that God is going to do more, and we're going to be able to go into more panyards just to bring revival to the panyards. Revival to the panyards. And redeem things. Redeem things that God has created and the enemy stole. Amen. And so that is some of what we've been doing in Trinidad and Tobago. Our goal is we planted a church in Aranguas, and we believe as we grow, we're going to plant churches throughout Trinidad and Tobago, throughout the Caribbean, and Lord willing, even in Africa, in the name of Jesus. I just prophesied and you didn't know it. All right. So I want to share today, you guys, the whole, from the beginning of the service, you guys were prophesying exactly what I was going to speak on. So in the middle of service, in the middle of worship, I'm going to go in that direction, but a little bit different. I'm going to take you to a different area. Are you ready? All right. So the title of this message, I'm going to change it a little bit because I'm just going to flow in the Spirit. Amen? The original title message was below average, but I believe I'm not in a below average church. Hallelujah. So we're going to call this upgrade. How many of you know that your computer needs upgrades? And how many of you know that we also need upgrades sometimes? Now, some of us, as we get older, we need upgrades on our knees and our hips and everything else. But we are going to get an upgrade in the Spirit today. Amen. Now, I did some studying, and no matter where I've been to different places in the world, and as I moved to Trinidad, I thought I knew certain things, but sometimes you think you know, but until you know what you don't know, you don't know. And so I went there, and I thought I knew, and then I realized I didn't know what I thought I knew. Now I know. But no matter where you in the world, I realized one thing, that as believers, most of us as believers are living below the standard of the New Testament church. We are living below the standard. In fact, the studies say, according to the Pew Research, 58% of evangelical Protestants attend church once a week, 30% once or twice a month. Maybe that's some of you here today. Well,
Some 12% seldom to never. A study by Lifeway Research done in 2019 shows that 32% of Christians read their Bible every day. 32% of Christians read their Bible every day. And that can mean only a scripture. Think about that for a second. 27% a few times a week, 12% once a week, 11 a few times a month, 5% once a month, and 12 rarely. City Square Association for Skylight Survey discovered that 61% of Americans pray daily with nearly an average of 20 minutes. Now, I thought that was high, and I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to tell you why I thought that was high, because if 61%, but they pray for 20 minutes, my question is, if you're not reading your Bible, how do you know what to pray for? That means our prayer aren't relational prayers, but they're asking prayers. God, do this. God, I need this. God, I want this. So instead of actually relational prayers, God, what are you saying? God, what do you want? God, what do you want to do today in my life? God, what is it that you want to do in my children? God, what is it that you want to do in my job? We're sitting there asking more than we are having relationship. So if we're not having relationship with God, then and reading our Bible to know how to pray and what to pray, then how is it that we actually have relationship with God? If I spent 20 minutes with my wife, I would never be married, and we probably won't be married. You know what I mean? But yet we say we have relationship with God. Our relationship is merely, I believe many times, it's merely something that is afar. It's what we say rather than what we do. But in the New Testament, there's things that is different. And I realize that many of us as believers, now, again, I see in this church, by all the testimonies we heard, is not true. But many of us don't even know how to activate what lives inside of us. We don't because if you don't have relationship, you don't even know what lives inside of you. If you don't spend time with God, you don't realize the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of you and lives inside of me. But if I don't have relationship, I don't know how to activate it. I'm here today to help you upgrade a little bit, to activate some things inside of you, to stir the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, so that you can lay your hands on the sick and see them recover, so that you can lay your hands on those who are demonized and see the demon leave instantly. I'm here today to bring an upgrade. Now, let's take a moment and let's look at the New Testament church, because really, they're the minimal standard of what a Christian should be. Is what we see in the New Testament is a minimal standard. Why do I say it's a minimal standard? Because we're supposed to go from glory to glory. In fact, Jesus said, greater things you will do than what I did. So what we see, minimal standard, and we should be higher than that. Because understand this, we have a deeper understanding. What we have, they didn't have. They didn't have the Bible like we have it. So we should have be farther ahead in the Spirit than what they were even at. Because we have things that they don't have. We have the revelation that they were. You understand that a lot of what we read in the Bible was new teaching to them. It was revelation. But yet, we just read it like, it's just the Bible. That's why we don't spend any time in the Word. But we have something that they didn't have, so we should be operating at a different level. Let's look at this. Acts 2, 42 through 47. It says this. This is in the conception of the church. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all
as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. We see here they're devoted. There's a devotion there to teaching. There's a devotion to prayer. There's a devotion to the word and spending time together. And I understand that our lives are different than what they were then. Right? But we have to have devotion to the things of God. We have to have devotion to the word of God, devotion to prayer, devotion helping others and to the church. And when we have that, we begin to grow. You cannot grow and you cannot do certain things if those things, those are foundational things. Without a foundation, other things can't occur. But many times we want to do the other things without no foundation. And because we have no foundation, many times we might, God will use us like he used the donkey to talk to Balaam. Read the King James Version. Just say it that way. So anyways, many of us are like the donkey. Instead of being what God has called us and created us to do. God might use us in a moment, but it's not a constant use because we have no foundation. But when we have foundation and we're led by the Spirit, according to Galatians 5, it says, be led by the Spirit, right? And when we're led by the Spirit, God can constantly use us wherever we go. Now, let me say this. When I went to Trinidad and Tobago, I thought I knew about witchcraft. I'm breaking some things down for you because we're going someplace with this. I thought I knew. We dealt with witches in our church in New Jersey. Came to church, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Sitting in church, praising God. Witches will show up in your church, and if you aren't led by the Spirit, you won't even know they're witches. They'll even speak in tongues. But demonic tongues. So you have to know. So when I went to Trinidad, we thought we knew what witchcraft was and how it operated. And what happened was this. We learned that we didn't know what we thought we knew. And many times, what's happening here in America is this. And I'm here to warn you. What's happening is in America is this. It's been hidden for a long time. It's been covered up and behind the scenes for a long time. But Disney and all these movies about paranormal is making us numb to the supernatural. But what the enemy is trying to do is numb us. But what is happening is this, that God is awakening the supernatural to our lives. What's happening is that it's bringing these things to the forefront that many, even on TikTok, even on Instagram and Facebook, you see all this witchcraft and all this stuff going on all throughout the movies, but yet we sit there because we don't know no better and we're being numb by it and we're opening doors. So what's happening is we're allowing things in. In Trinidad, I love Trinidad. Trinidad is beautiful. It's warm. I don't have to worry about snow. I don't have to worry about walking outside and my snot freezing in my nose. I can just go outside in t-shirts and shorts all the time. I love Trinidad. The people are beautiful in Trinidad. The culture is beautiful. But witchcraft is high. Where even the young people, the old, everybody, it seems like even the people in the church are operating in witchcraft. And so, many times when we have to be led by the Spirit in everything that we do, because we have to be discerning to what's going on. And this is how they do it. They'll make you feel sick, and you'll think it's natural. But it's actually a spiritual attack. They'll use things to make you, you might feel your leg going numb. And you'll be like, oh, it's just my leg, it just fell asleep a little bit. And I realize that what they try to do is they try to make you so you try to receive something that is not yours.
So what I started to do is anytime I start feeling off, I begin to break witchcraft right away and pray against it. And then I begin to pray for healing. Why am I sharing this with you? Because it's happening to many of you and you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. You're saying it's just my leg. And then you start thinking, I wonder if there's something wrong in my body. I wonder if I have cancer. You just opened the door. You just opened the door to receive something that was never for you to receive. So what happens is that they'll use these things, but because we're not being led by the Spirit, because we don't have a foundation, because we're not desiring things of God and we're not going after God with all of our heart, we're susceptible to it and the enemy knows it. The enemy is okay with you going to church. Devil doesn't mind you going to church. It's okay. He's okay with your reading your Bible and praying just a little bit like most of us. He's okay with that. Why? Because you're not effective. Let me break it down this way. Remember in the Genesis, in when the devil went to Eve, what did he do? He asked her questions, right? He said, can you eat of any of the trees? He said, yes, we can eat of any of the trees. He said, oh. But she said, but this tree of good and evil, we can't eat of it. He goes, why can't you eat of it? She said, because we'll surely die. And what does he say? You won't die. Now, think about it this way. Many times the enemy does the same thing to each and every one of us. He makes us begin, he asks us questions. And when we begin to answer, then he'll give us a partial truth. He'll give us a little bit. And he'll say, you won't die. It's good fruit. Now what happened is this. She received the partial truth because when they ate of the fruit, did they die? Yes and no, right? They did not die physically because that's what she was thinking. But they're spiritually were dead. And what happened was this. When Eve, now all you men pay attention, and I expect a big amen right here, men. When Eve ate of the fruit, nothing happened. Nothing happened, correct? It wasn't until Adam ate of the fruit that their eyes were open. Why? Because Adam was given the dominion and authority. And what the Satan was after was the dominion and authority. He knew he couldn't take it from Adam, but he knew he could deceive Eve so that Eve could bat her eyes and say, it's good. And that Adam would eat of it. And so what the enemy did was he took the dominion and authority that was given to Adam and that was given to Eve and that was given to me and to you and brought separation from God walking in the cool of the evening, the voice of God walking with them. And so then it was only because of Jesus dying on the cross that was restored to us. Every believer has power and authority and dominion over the enemy. It's been restored through Jesus Christ. But the problem is this, the enemy has deceived us like he did Eve, and he says, go ahead, going to church is good, you'll make it to heaven. Read your Bible a little bit, you'll make it to heaven. And the enemy doesn't mind you going to heaven. What he doesn't want you doing is operating in dominion and authority. When you begin to operate in dominion and authority, that is when the enemy begins to attack you because you're taking what he believes is his, but it's actually yours. And here's the thing. When you begin to operate in authority and dominion, you're taking back territory for the kingdom of God. And the problem with many of us believers is we're deceived. Just go to church, read our Bible, and pray a little bit, and that's okay. But God, from the very beginning, wanted us to operate in power, authority, and dominion. To take back this earth for the kingdom of God. So check this out. Let's look at Acts 8, and we're going to look at Acts 9. Acts 8 says this. It says, Acts 8, 4 through 8 says this. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says this. Philip, for an example. You caught that. Philip, for an example. So Philip is an example of every other believer. And it says this. Went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. It took one believer to shift a whole entire city because he knew the power and dominion and authority that he had in Christ Jesus. It took one believer. It takes one person in Imlaton to shift it. One person in Franklin to shift it. One person in Clintonville and Grove City to shift it because he understood his power and authority. And it says this, what happened through him was what? Miracles. Signs. He laid demons, spirits came out screaming. Now here's the problem with most of us. We are okay with healing. It got real quiet. We're okay with healing. But as soon as it comes to casting out a demon, we're like, oh. That's for somebody else to do. Now, let me break this down for you real quick. They don't have the scripture verses for this. I'm just going to say it quick. In the New Testament where it says possession, the word in the Greek actually means demonize. It means to exercise by. Now, check this out. God has given each of us free will. Right? Free will is something that can never be taken. So if you have free will, you can't be possessed. Because free will would take away possession. Free will, understand this, possession means an absolute control. You control it. If I possess this clipboard, I have control of this clipboard. Wherever I go, the clipboard goes. Exercise means it's like a trainer. Do the push-ups. You're like, yes, trainer, yes, trainer. Right? So many people think a Christian can't be possessed, and that's actually true. But a Christian can be demonized. Now let me break this down for you a step farther. 1 Corinthians 6 says that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So as an example, that anywhere you see temple, even in the New Testament, it's a representation of who we are. Ezekiel 41 and 6 says that there's God has given Ezekiel the outlay of the temple, right? He's showing him how to build the temple. He says in Ezekiel 41 and 6, it says that there's three levels. On each level, that there's 30 rooms, plus the holies of holies, the inner courts and the outer courts. That's 93 rooms. That means there's 93 rooms in our body that the enemy can hide. Let me break it down a step farther for you. Ezekiel 8. Ezekiel gets a vision. God takes him to the temple, and he says this. I'm going to actually read this scripture verse. He shows them all the things, the idol worship that was going on in the temple, right? And all the secret room temple. And he says this in Ezekiel 8 and 6. It says, son of man, he said, do you see what they are doing? Do you see the detestable sins the people of Israel are committing to drive me from my temple? Hold up. Time out. They're committing idolatry in the temple, worshiping spirits. All these different things are going on, but the Spirit of God was still there. How do I know that? Because he said, do you see what they're doing to drive me from my temple? That means he was still there in the midst. So he was in a room, and then the other rooms, they were doing all this idol worship. So that means many of us as believers, some of us have secrets that we don't even know that are there, that have been hidden where the enemy is just chilling. How many of you have a room in your house, maybe the basement, that you don't go in very often? But when you open the door, you don't have any mice, you don't have any spiders, none of that in the rest of your house. But in that room, you do. Why? Because you never open the door to go in there and clean it out. And so many times, even as believers, there's areas of our lives where we've given God access to every room or to most of the rooms, but there might be a room that God, you haven't given God access, and the enemy, there's a spirit they're hiding. In fact, in Timothy, it says, we do not have the spirit of fear. So that means there can be a spirit of fear hiding in a room because you don't trust God. Catch that for a second. So many of us, I see that this is a healing church. But the question is, do you believe that as a normal believer that you can cast out a demon? You understand what I'm saying? Because the enemy, he's okay with us praying for healing someone, but when you start casting out demons, he don't like that. Because you're taking back territory that belongs to him. When we went to Trinidad and Tobago and we started taking back some territory, the enemy threw out all types of attacks against us. We had two car accidents. The first one wasn't bad. The second one was worse. And my daughter, who lives in New Jersey, was with us. 2 weeks later, she was driving on the parkway. It's like Interstate 80, but 3-4 lanes. Right, she's driving, and all of a sudden, she's slowing down a little bit to get over, and all of a sudden, a car starts flying out of nowhere, hits her from behind, spins the car into the median, and totals the car. There was traffic coming the other way. Thank God there was a truck that stopped, began to flash them. Why am I saying this? Because I know that the first attack was against me, and then that attack was against her. See, they do things even to cause you... your cars to wreck, to cause damage to you. I know for a fact that the enemy has, they still have a bounty on me. I'll just put it that way. I know that. How do I know that? Because I'm led by the Spirit, and the Spirit of God has shown me. There's many times that they have attacked us physically, even Karis, and you guys know what happened to Karis. And that was after we went into the pan yard. It was 2 days later, and we were sending her here. As soon as I began to pray before she left for the bump that was on her, I began to break witchcraft, and it went down. The bump just about disappeared completely. But then she left and came. And every time we would, she ended up in the hospital. And every time at night, they would begin to work their stuff again, her heart rate, and everything would go funky. And they would call, and we'd begin to pray and break witchcraft, and it went down. And completely, we know what spiritual attacks are, because we know that when you take back territory, the enemy does not like it. But many of us go through our lives oblivious because we're doing nothing for the kingdom of God. We're doing nothing to take back territory. We're doing nothing to take back the kingdom of God and take back this area for God. But I'm here today to upgrade you a little bit so that you begin to take back territory for God. Acts 9, and I'm just showing you some normal believer stuff where we all should be. Acts 9 and 10, Paul sees 9, 10 through 19. Paul meets Jesus on his way to Damascus, and it says this. Now there was a disciple. Not one of the 12 disciples, just a disciple, just an average Joe Christian named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision. So Ananias, just a normal Christian, had a vision of the Lord. And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and laying his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." Now hold up, time out. Paul just met Jesus. Now, it was a supernatural meeting, but Paul has a vision. A vision, God spoke to Paul that Ananias was coming to him to lay his hands on him so he would regain his sight. Now, all of a sudden, just a normal Christian, like you and like me, Ananias has a vision. God gives him directions to the T. Where to go, what street to go to, who to ask for, and what to do. How many of us have had visions like that, or God has spoken to us in such a way, with such direction? This is just a normal, average Christian. This was the norm for the New Testament believer. You want me to prove it to you, don't you? I see your faces. It's okay. I'm going to prove it to you in a second. But think about this. Remember when Peter was in jail and angel bust him out of jail? right? And he goes and knocks on the door, and the girl's like, Peter's at the door. They're like, nah, it's just his angel. It's just, what do you mean? But it's just his spirit or his angel. What do you mean? That means they were accustomed seeing his angel. They were accustomed seeing angels. So they just said, oh, it's just an angel. It's not him. Huh? We're way below that, y'all. God wants to upgrade us to that place. Amen? All right. Let's go Acts 9 and let's just jump down. So Ananias kind of has a back and forth with God. In verse 17, it says, so Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, somebody say immediately. Oh, that was weak. Somebody say immediately. See, I don't know if you guys really believe it, but anyways. Immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. See, I want you to see that it was regular believer. Understand that Ananias did not know who he was praying for. Saul, who became Paul, was one of the greatest apostles who ever lived. Ananias, just a regular believer. Jesus came to him. He didn't go to Peter. He didn't go to John. He didn't go to James or any of the 12 disciples. He went to a regular believer to lay his hands on Saul and to see his sight recovered. You don't know when the Holy Spirit directs you who you're putting your hands on. You don't know who God is using to pray for. You don't know if it's the next president or next governor. You don't know how they can change the world. See, but we are not led by the Spirit. This is what happens. We would have that vision, and we'd be like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Let's just be honest. But we need to get to the place, church, that these things are normal for us. They're normal. They're a norm. And we will see more and more healings. I believe Chapel on the Hill will see more healings the rest of this year and going on than you ever have before. When you put the faith to the things that of the Bible and you begin to operate out in faith, healing after healing after healing, miracle after miracle after miracle will begin to occur, but we have to step it up. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples as he ascended into heaven in Mark 16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and these signs will accompany who? Those who believe. It didn't say apostles. It didn't say prophets. It didn't say pastor or teacher or evangelist. It said to those who believe. He didn't even say the deacons will do it. He said those who believe, these signs will accompany. They'll lay their hands on the sick and they will be healed. They'll cast out demons. Come on. And it says that when they went, those things accompanied them. And it says this. I love this part. To prove the word they spoke was true. The problem with the church is we're not proving nothing. We're just speaking. But we ain't proven. God, when we speak, God wants us to, he'll back his word up. See, the problem is why people are leaving the church is because the church is not showing them God. They're just speaking God. And God is saying, we need to show the church. You need to show the people who I am. Because what? They only know him through us. They know his power through us. In fact, Romans 8 says the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. Ephesians 1 says this, and I'm going to end. Ephesians 1 says Paul's prayer is that we would know the power of Christ that raised Jesus from the dead. And he says, and Christ was seated at the right hand of the Father, and all authority and all power were underneath his feet. Then in Ephesians 2, it says that we are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. That means the same things that are underneath Jesus' feet is underneath your feet and my feet. But why do we act like we have no power and authority. Why do we act like the enemy is up here and we're down here? Even when we pray for certain things, we pray wrong. And it shows that we have no power and authority. If you look at Peter and John when they went to the temple and the man asked them for silver and gold, they said, "Silver and gold we have not, but what we have we give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he went like this. He pulled him. This is how we pray for healing. God, if you want to heal, I believe you will heal. You have the same power that raised Christ from the dead living inside of you. All you have to do is activate. Say, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. Get up and walk. Why are we scared? God spoke to me last week and he said this. Many of us, the reason why is many of us don't believe Jesus was actually raised from the dead. We say we do, but we don't believe it, because if we believed it, we'd operate in the power that is inside of us, that Jesus was raised from the dead. See, if you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, you'd operate in that same power. And you'd begin, you'd lay your hand and you say, in the name of Jesus, I command pain to leave now in Jesus' name. I command all the soreness, all the muscles to loosen now in the name of Jesus. And this is what I do, is I say, check it. Where's it at? Oh, it's getting a little bit better. What percentage? Oh, it's 20%. Well, we're going to pray until it's 100%. And until it's 100%, I ain't moving. Unless God tells me I'm going to continue to heal it, tell him to do this. Why? Because I understand the power and authority that God has given me. And I know I don't have to ask for something God has already given me. Check that. We're asking for something that is already ours. Instead of saying, in the name of Jesus, be healed. All right. I'll stand. Let's all stand.